Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's third quarter 2011 results conference call. For your information, today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Maria Radona, Head of IR. Please go ahead.
Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Башнефть third quarter results conference call. Today with us, we have our CEO, Александр Корсик, our CFO, Алексей Курыч, and Виктор Мышников, Vice President for Strategy and Development. Now I will read a short disclaimer. Certain statements in this presentation may contain the assumptions or forecasts with respect to forthcoming events within Башнефть Group. The words expect, estimate, intend, will, could, and similar expressions identify forward-looking statements. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that the actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and/or circumstances occurring after the above-mentioned date or to reflect the occurrence of anticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results of Башнефть Group to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, amongst others, the deteriorating economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risk associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industry, as well as many other risks especially. Now I would like to give the word to our CEO, Александр Корсик, who will update you on the third quarter results.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I have the pleasure to introduce some comments on the results of third quarter, which you've already seen in our publication. Results are, of course, significantly better than our business plan for the year due to changed macroeconomic situation. I would like to stress that the results we have achieved in third quarter are exactly in line with our monthly business planning. There is a certain decline of EBITDA and net profit in comparison to the second quarter, and this decline is attributed to certain one-offs, which Алексей Курыч, CFO of the company, will describe to you in greater detail. I would like to mention that some of the analysts which published their reports just after our publication have already done proper guesses as to what kind of one-offs we have in third quarter. Before I pass the word to Алексей Курыч, I would like to make a couple of other comments. We are in permanent comparison with our peers. We are always trying to look how we look in comparison to the best companies of the class in the Russian market. As you remember, when we were introducing the results of the second quarter, we stressed that our trend in second quarter was significantly better than the trend of our competitors. In fact, it was extraordinary trend, and it creates a kind of volatility in comparison. In order to exclude this volatility, we made a comparison of first quarter, second quarter, and third quarter. If we look at dynamics from first quarter to third quarter, our EBITDA growth is better than EBITDA growth of vast majority of our peers. If we look at net profits from first quarter to third quarter, we're better than any other of our competitors. Probably some comments on operational results. As you can see, our crude production is still growing and growing faster than production of other companies. We've already mentioned to you that it's going to slow down, and you can already see that it's slowing down, as we have told you before. We will stabilize our production in Башкирия, I stress Башкирия, at the level of approximately 15 million tons. It's optimal level from the point of view of reaching the highest NPV in our upstream, and we'll be able to maintain it with current reserves in Башкирия for several years, introducing proper technologies and just doing the proper job of extracting crude. Later on, what's going to happen later on? We have certain reasons to believe that we'll be able to add reserves in Башкирия. and this addition of reserves will enable us to maintain production of 15 million tons for a longer period of time than I have just outlined. Treffs and Titov is not taken into account here. It's a separate story, a separate company. It's not subject for this meeting, but I just wanted to mention that we finished first exploration well in Treffs and Titov, and we achieved results which are beyond our expectations. I will not go into too many details. It's kind of superstition on the part of geologists, and they're holding my hands, asking me not to do anything about that. But the results are better than expected, and we have all reasons to look into the future with optimism in relation to Treffs and Titov. And now I'll pass the word to Alexey Kuric, which will give you much more flavor about financial details and will answer all the questions related to financial details. Thank you very much. And I'll be ready to answer any of your questions later on. Thanks.
Good afternoon, everyone. As Mr. Korsik just mentioned about the dynamics in terms of the figure, you do see a quite a nice increase in terms of comparison of Q3 2010 to 2011, and obviously 9 months for 2010 and 2011. You see a quite significant increase, which is in some places is higher than you see of the same indication of our competitors. However, we do see a decrease in terms of Q2 and Q3 of 2011, which is as outlined, which is mainly attributed to the one-off effects of such, which I'll list in a minute. First of all, it's the reserves that we've created for the current negotiations with the Federal Anti-Monopoly Agency. Secondly, we've made some write-offs in terms of the old losses of our service companies that are currently in the process of restructuring within the Bashneft group. We do see an additional social and charity expense in comparison to Q2, which were mainly moved to Q3. We do see some sort of a technical, I wouldn't call it an error, but again, a technical issue, which is due to the export duties were moved from Q2, where they really should have been in terms of the revenues of the products, and they were moved to Q3 of 2011. The one of the most important factors is the commission that we had to pay under the contract with one of the Russian banks, as we moved out of the agreement and we've completed a refinancing of a particular line, and all these four or five one-offs, it totals up to about $200 million. So if you compare a so-called normalized EBITDA of Bashneft in Q2 2011 to Q3 2011, you see that the difference is rather insignificant, which is just above $20 million. In terms of any other highlights and all the other main issues of financials for Q3, we'd be more than happy to answer any of your questions. Thank you.
Okay, operator, please start Q&A session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question over the phone today, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is disabled, or we will not receive your signal. If for any reason you need to remove yourself from the queue, you can do so by pressing star 2. Once again, to ask a question today, that will be star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will pause for a moment in order to allow everyone to signal for questions. Our first question today comes from Vasyl Mitrushin of Okraisi Capital. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for your presentation. I have a short question on your dividends, potential dividends. We remember that you paid an interim dividend for the first 9 months of last year. I wonder what is your current stance on the dividends? Should we expect any interim dividends for 2011?
Vadim, we do not have plans to pay any additional dividends for this year due to the fact that we have significant capital extensive projects next year. We need our cash flow for CapEx, and there is no request from shareholders for any additional dividends. So one shouldn't be expecting any dividends this year.
Okay, thank you.
We take our next question today from Alexander Kornev of Prosperity Capital. Your line is now open.
Yes, hi. You mentioned a number of one-offs. Maybe you can provide a breakdown of these one-offs. In particular, I would be interested in the loss that you recognized on the bond repurchase. And second question is, do you expect any loss to be recognized in the fourth quarter of this year? And the third question kind of relates to that. We saw your SG&A rising 95% quarter on quarter. Is it like did you put any one-offs there as well, or was it this bond repurchase that might have affected that? Thank you.
Okay, well, basically I see the three questions in one. First of all, in terms of the breakdown, then it's as following. The write-offs in terms of the credit agreement, and it's not attributed to the bond issue because bond issue replacement was in Q4 of 2011, just a few weeks ago. Again, it's a write-off. The amount was $55 million. In terms of reserves for FAS, then that's $30 million. The write-offs of old losses of our service companies, that's another $50 million. Additional social and charity expense, $20 million. And export duties, which are attributed to Q2 rather than Q3, that's another $50 million. In terms of the bond issue, then again, you will see... first answering the SG&A. The answer is yes. A part of one-offs and exactly the commission for the credit agreement, for loan agreement, a $55 million one-off is actually in SG&A. Then we see the charity and the social expense, an additional another $20 million that also is in SG&A. So that adds up to about $75 million. And in terms of, again, in terms of bond issue, then you'll see a reflection of that operation in Q4 of 2011.
What loss do you expect on this bond repurchase?
That roughly somewhere in between 1 to 1.2 billion rubles. Which is roughly $40 million.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Our next question today comes from Gerda Manadov of Goldman Sachs. Your line is now open.
Hello, I just wanted to follow up on the question regarding dividends. You have mentioned that one shouldn't expect any additional dividends this year. My understanding is that you refer to interim dividends, 9 months dividends, but can you just clarify this? You will pay the full year dividends at the beginning of 2012. There will be some announcement in that respect, or are you trying to guide the market that there will be reduction in the overall dividend payout ratio for 2011? Thank you.
Uh, Of course, we have a business plan for next year, which is almost finalized, but we need an approval from the board of directors, which is going to take place in the end of December. There is a certain amount of dividends in our plan, but we are not ready for the time being to disclose this figure. First of all, because no decision was yet made. And second, it's ultimately a decision of the meeting of shareholders and the board of directors. And only after that is done, there can be final answer. But shareholders should expect certain dividends next year as well, as usual.
Thank you very much. Can I just ask another question as well while here? It's regarding the overall strategy and your negotiations with ONGC. Is everything just unchanged from the previous quarter, from the last conference call that we had, or you have seen some progress on this front? Thank you.
The negotiating team from AFK Sistema and from Bashneft is in permanent discussions with our Indian partners, but it's still a long way to go before we can reach any agreement. For the time being, I cannot say that we are ready for any kind of a deal. It's still in the process of discussions. There are several reasons. Reason number one, there was a change of managing team of ONGC, and of course it affects the situation. Reason number two, our Indian partners are very sophisticated, well-trained and clever people. They're not going to overpay, and we don't want to be underpaid. So it's an issue. We're in discussions.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Slava Bonkov of Aton. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the presentation. Could you please explain your strategy on the debt markets? I mean, you recently repurchased 40 billion rubles in bonds, then you issued bonds, or you also have as I can see from different sources, that you can issue another 20 billion in bonds. Can you please provide any maybe schedule for bonds placement or any details on your debt policy?
Thanks for the question. Well, I think I'd rather explain in great details the kind of the debt strategy for the next 3 to 5 years rather than talking specifically about the bonds. Simply because, you know, we use at any point of time, we use the most viable options for the company. Both, you know, kind of looking at the same time, looking at the capex position, looking at the long term financial model. So, in terms of the bond issue that we've done back in 2009, the 50 billion one that we've just purchased back from the market, then the answer to that is quite simple. As you know, there's an option that expires in December 2012. So basically, looking at the markets today, the decision of the company was that we cannot have at a risk such a significant amount of money as a standout order on the market. So basically what we did, we purchased back most of the bond issue and we replaced that with a loan facility with a group of banks, and 10 billion out of what we purchased out from the market we just replaced, again moving the schedule of repayment of the bond from 2012 onto 2013, which is much more comfortable for the company. In terms of any kind of future placements, then you're absolutely right. We do have an option to place further bonds on the market, be it today or slightly later on. But the point is, we've restructured, I would say, 99% of the current debt portfolio. We've been doing that for the last year or so. We've significantly reduced the average borrowing rate, and we've significantly increased the term of the loan, because the bond issue that we've just replaced, basically we've lengthened the term from a year to 5 years. Getting much more comfortable in terms of the cash position, and overall, in 2012 and beyond, we'll be looking at the market. You know, if at some specific point of time we see that the Russian bond market is much more interesting to us, then we'll do that. If it's a European market that's more interesting, then we'll get there again. It will be a balance and a kind of a good structure between term and the currency and the rates, obviously.
And just a quick follow-up question. Can you tell me the average cost of debt for the company?
It's not something that we disclose. You can see the whole of the portfolio in the annual report. Again, as I said, we almost finished the restructuring. So as we do that, then we'll present the numbers in the annual report. You'll see from there.
And just another follow-up question. Given the option to raise, well, kind of significant sum of money, about $2 billion on bond market, do you plan any significant acquisitions in 2012?
In accordance with our strategy, we are looking for upstream assets and we are looking for assets in retail. We have certain plans. But whether these plans will materialize or not depends on the outcome of our negotiations. Definitely we are planning some money for CAPEX, but our business plan provides enough money for the acquisitions we can make the next year.
Great, and another short follow-up question. Can you disclose your CAPEX for 2012?
I believe it would be much better if we disclose main figures of our business plan after it's accepted by the board of directors. Before that, it will be premature. I do not think it's a proper thing to do to provide market with information about our business plan before the board of directors is well aware of what is going to happen in the company.
Great. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Konstantin Sherapanov of UBS. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to ask a question about the cost of oil purchases. According to our estimates, you're paying a big premium to the average cost of crude oil on the Russian domestic market when you purchase the crude oil for your refineries, or I can assume that some costs are included into this cost line. So could you please elaborate on this? Because otherwise the number of costs of cost of crude oil purchase looks pretty strange for us. Thank you.
Konstantin, we are buying crude at a formula price, which is more or less export netback of crude oil. So you can make your own calculation easily what's the price of crude. But in the item you just related to, there are other costs. There are costs of purchasing products. We need to purchase oil products for our retail network in Orenburg and for some other reasons, and those products prices, product costs were included into this item as well. It creates a kind of misunderstanding. As to the purchase of crude, the price is exactly export netback. Plus, minus, I cannot disclose some details of the formulas we have with different oil companies.
Okay, but if it is possible, could you disclose the amount of cost associated with the purchases of petroleum products in this quarter?
You can easily make your own calculation. Just take export netback from oil price and subtract it from the total amount we have paid, and you'll see the price we paid for oil products. I cannot give you more details about our oil price because our contracts are Well, we cannot reveal the details of our contracts in accordance with the agreements with oil companies from which we are purchasing.
You know, okay, I understand. But at least probably you can disclose the volume of oil products you have purchased in millions of tons.
It's about 140,000 tons of oil products.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
We take our next question from Zoltan Palfi of Credit Suisse. Your line is now open.
Very good afternoon. Two quick questions, please. Firstly, we have seen a significant increase in transportation costs quarter on quarter, despite fairly similar volumes between the two quarters. Has there been any cost reallocated that were impacting Q2 reported in Q3, or there has been some other reason explaining this increase? The second question is related to your plans to potentially increase your stake of ownership in the refineries you hold. Has there been any progress made to buy out the minorities on the refineries level?
In terms of the transport cost, then yes, we do see
Yes, we do see
a slight increase in the transportation cost, which is mainly attributed to two factors. First of all, it's basically it's a full consolidation of one of the units that is not placed in Ufa, which is ASPEC, and basically the full transportation cost is now reflected in our P&L. And secondly, we see an increase in tariffs for pipe transportation by about 3%, which is also reflected in the increasing cost.
As to the second question about minorities in refineries, I think you're well aware that after the change in taxation system in Russia, so-called 60-66, there is absolutely different valuation right now of upstream units and downstream units. And we are in the process of considering what the real fair value of the refineries and of upstream is right now. When we finalize this process, we'll look at the issue more thoroughly, and our intention is to stop the potential conflict between minorities in Bashneft and in its subsidiaries. But when it's going to materialize, it depends. We'll look at market conditions, and after fair valuation of all the assets, we'll come to a certain decision.
I see. Thanks very much.
Our next question comes from Alexander Morin of Solink. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. When the company plans to convert their shares of subsidiaries to Bashneft stock? Thank you.
Alexander, it's just an issue I was trying to dwell upon in my previous answer. We haven't made a decision yet. We were considering this option for some time, but we decided that we should wait and see what kind of effect the introduction of new taxation system would have on valuations of different parts of the companies. We'll need at least this quarter to understand what these effects are. After that, we can have a very, not very, but more or less clear idea of what is could be a potential composition of the company in terms of value, different parts of the company. After that, we'll make a final decision. I can only mention that valuation would be fair.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Sergey Vasin of Swissbank. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We do congratulate the company with a really good place in Platts top 250 global energy companies ranking. and we wonder what goals does the company set itself in the nearest future, what will be the means for it, and the last but not the least, how it would affect companies' ratios such as leverage, debt to EBITDA, and so on. Thank you very much.
First of all, about our goals. As you know, we have a certain disbalance in our crude production capacity and our refining capacity. We still have a target of trying to liquidate this disbalance. It means we are going either to buy additional upstream assets or to increase our reserves both in Bashkiria and in Trebtsin Titov. Probably you've noticed that about a month ago we purchased three licenses in Nenets Autonomous Region, licenses which cover areas quite close to Trebtsin Titov, and we see some potential there. So we'll go both ways, mergers and acquisitions and exploration. We continue our modernization program. Our refineries will meet all necessary standards, Euro 4, Euro 5, in due time, in accordance with government regulations, and we allocated money for that. Plus, we have some modernization programs which are not directly linked with introduction of new governmental regulations on standards of oil products, which are going to increase the depth of refining and production of light products. We have these projects as well. Plus, we're aiming to increase our capacity in retail because we would like to keep the margins which are existing there in comparison to export netbacks for gasoline, mostly, partially for diesel fuel. Those are our main directions in which we're going, and they haven't changed since last year. As to debt to EBITDA ratio, probably Alexei Kurish would be much more better person to comment on than I.
Thank you. Well, in terms of debt to EBITDA, then obviously I guess the question is a long-term debt to EBITDA. We don't have any formal, I would say, restrictions in terms of that we shouldn't go above 3, 4, 5 or whatever. We have, but obviously we do have our own internal restriction that is linked directly to the strategy, to the mid and long-term strategy of the company. Apart from what Mr. Korsik just described, the high capex in terms of being it M&A or organic growth, we do concentrate on a thing like long-term financial stability of the group itself. So basically, our job is to find a healthy balance between high capex needs for all three parts of the business and a financial stability in long term. I do understand that it's not really a great answer to the question what levels of debt to EBITDA we should be reaching. Again, in terms of the formal covenants, we only have one which is expressed in the PXF agreement, but we're way below it. B, we are looking at all of our competitors that are not too much above debt to EBITDA 1. And C, we do concentrate, and one of the main goals for us is long-term financial stability of the company.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you for your answers.
Our next question comes from Alexander Kornev of Prosperity Capital. Your line is now open.
Yes, hi again. Just a couple of questions to clarify. Can you please explain the nature of your credit agreement and the loss of $55 million? The second question is, how much did you spend on charity for 9 months of this year? And lastly, you mentioned that you bought 140,000 tons of products in the third quarter. And just to confirm, that is the number. Thank you.
In terms of answering your first question, then, it's a loan agreement with one of the Russian banks, with one of the major Russian banks, that was a long-term loan, which at some point of time early in 2011 we considered to be way above what we could otherwise get from the market, both in terms of the rate and in terms of the kind of internal the covenants that are within the loan agreement. So we found a much better way of refinancing this loan. Hence, one of the parts of the agreement was that we cannot leave this agreement one way. So we had to prepay some of the interest expense that was included in the loan agreement. And this sum is, as I mentioned, $55 million. This answering your second question in regards to the charity expense for 9 months, it's $33 million. And could you repeat your third question, please?
Third question. I just wanted to clarify the volume of refined product that you purchased in third quarter.
That's 140,000 tons.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Andrei Gromadin of JP Morgan. Your line is now open.
Good evening. Just a quick follow-up on consolidation. Is it reasonable to assume that you could announce some terms for minorities in second quarter next year?
We do not have any definite dates because we haven't made a final decision yet whether we go in this direction or not go. Right now we are looking of the effect which a new taxation system is going to have on the company. We have our own forecasts of this effect, but we would like to see real numbers before we come to any decision. There should be an independent valuation. If we decide to go this way and only after all these things are done, we'll make a decision whether we are going this way or not. To say that you can expect it in the second quarter would be too early to say. I don't know yet before the decisions are made inside the company. I don't want to make false promises. It remains to be seen.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Sergey Ivaskovsky of East Capital. Your line is now open.
Hi, Alexander. Hi, Alexei. Hi, everyone. Thanks for a good presentation. I would like to ask a question on ongoing CapEx. We see that oil upstream divisions in large companies, they are lifting CapEx for next year due to enlarged drilling volumes and due to continuous modernizations. And you, I guess, start Trepsitov investments next year, so maybe you can give some more detailed guidance on what would be your legacy CapEx and Trepsitov CapEx next year. Thanks.
I can give you just a very general answer to this question. We're going to increase our CapEx next year in comparison to this year, but I can give you any detailed amounts before before our business plan is approved by the board of directors. Before that, it will be premature. We're going to increase CapEx because we cut down CapEx in upstream this year due to the reasons that we believe that it's better to increase production by using repairs on existing wells than drilling unnecessary wells in Bashkiria. As you can see, we have cut down CapEx in drilling and without any increase in any noticeable increase in OPEX, we are able to maintain the production. So we might fall this way next year as well. It all depends. And we are permanently changing our CAPEX program because it's been adjusted to current economic conditions and current economic and reservoir conditions as well.
So, but overall CAPEX will be increased.
There will be increase. But I will give you a guidance only after the board of directors approves our business plan.
Understood. May I also ask an additional question? Of course, you already commented on consolidation which could happen next year. My question is, of course, is one of the largest minorities in Bashneft, our fund, and one of the largest minorities in your refineries. There is some concern. You can you guide us what kind of independent valuation will you do in case of consolidation? Will it be international accounting firm, one of Big Four, or it will be done by Russian legislation only, which doesn't require actually a Big Four company? Thank you.
Of course, it's going to be a very respected company.
All right, thank you.
If it answers your question.
Not precisely, but I guess that...
Well, I cannot give you the name, but if you make a list of the respected companies, you'll not make a big mistake just putting the tick on one of them.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Gregory Berg of Invest Cafe Independent Research.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the presentation. I have a couple of questions. The first one is relating to the production growth. The company has been showing very impressive rates of crude output growth. So my question is as follows. How much longer does management expect this to continue before it starts to have adverse effects on their costs? And the second question is regarding the strategy, the sales strategy, and should we expect a reduction in the crude export and domestic sales in the future, especially given that, as you say, the purchases of crude for your refineries happen at a price which is an add-back to the export price? Thank you.
Grigory, as to production, we're reaching the level of approximately 15 million tons per year, plus minus, and it's an optimal amount in terms of NPV for forthcoming years. If we see that we should cut down the production in order to maintain profitability, we're definitely going to do this. We're not looking for physical volumes. We are looking for creating value for the company. So the production will be always at optimal level. It means maximizing NPVs. How long we're going to maintain a plateau of 15 million tons depends. It will be several years, but keeping in mind the track record of current geological team of Bashneft, they have done miracles in the past, and I have certain reasons to believe that they're quite conservative in their forecasts. The production is going to decrease after several years. Probably it will be quite a lengthy period of time. Again, I've mentioned that we have reasons to believe that we're going to increase reserves in Bashkiria, and it means that we'll be able to maintain production using the same infrastructure we have right now. Second question, I have lost. Domestic sales of crude.
Well, domestic and export sales, especially given that the net back price.
We have not a very significant proportion of export sales of crude in comparison to other companies. In fact, we are selling, exporting only 300,000 tons per month, and we need to maintain approximately that amount in order to keep our presence in international markets. Because if something changes, we don't want to start it from scratch. So we'll try to maintain this level. As to what is more profitable, exports or domestic sales, they're the same. Because all the sales in Russia are right now done at netback, at export netback price, plus minus, so it doesn't really mean whether you're selling it in Russia or exporting. For the time being, there are no ideas to change this proportion. We are going to keep this proportion for foreseeable future.
So am I correct in understanding that you'll continue to export for the sake of maintaining presence and still purchasing the roughly same amount of crude on domestic market for your own refineries?
Yes, you're absolutely right, because netback we're getting from the export of our crude equals the amount we pay for the same volume of crude in the Russian market.
Okay, thank you very much.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question today, that will be star one on your telephone keypad. Once again, if you're attempting to signal for a question, that will be star one on your telephone keypad. And please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is turned off. We take our next question from Elena Teleshova of Pashnet. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you very much for this call.
It would seem that the caller has stepped away from the phone. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question today, that is star one on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Sergei Avishovsky of East Capital. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Maybe you have, can you refresh us on plans to increase free float and liquidity of Bashneft shares? Because last week they got listing on MySix, but still it is almost impossible to trade your shares. Just any plans for 2012 or maybe any news? Thank you.
Hi. Yes, we do monitor what is happening with Bashneft shares, and we know that they were now listed in MySix, and of course we welcome that very much, because that definitely is quite helpful to for the free float of the company. At the same very time, we are quite cautious with such plans, and as we were saying before during the previous conference call, we will monitor the situation and we will see how we can work on that, assuming the free float, as for the free float on MySix in the future. So far, we're just tracking the just the merger of MySix and RTS. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have no further questions at this time.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in this call and hear you in a quarter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.